I'd like to say good afternoon to each and every one. I want to cry because each and every one of you sitting here this afternoon are so important in my life. Important in my life. I want you to go home and think about that. Without you, there would be no me. I know that. I know that. And I was in the ladies' room, and I was saying, boy, you go to any lengths, Liz, to stay sober. And I have. My name is Liz Bailey. I know you tell me don't use my last name, but I've been using it for 56 years.
Hi, Liz.
And I'm a definitely, definitely grateful alcoholic.
Hi, Liz.
Hi, every one of you. I say this from gut level. Grateful that I lived in the time of Alcoholics Anonymous. Think about that when you go home, too. I'm 87 years old. And before I came into this fellowship, there was nothing to tell me about alcoholism or anything. Nothing! I came into AA very, very ignorant for life. I was 31. But 13 up here. I had let alcohol rob me of everything. The streets robbed me of everything. And you might listen to speakers at time and say, oh, I didn't do that. Oh, that didn't happen to me. You keep drinking and drugging. More than that will happen. I was just sitting over there before. I cried looking at television yesterday. Young man runs down a young woman who's jogging with drugs. Could you tell him he has a problem? You couldn't tell him that. You couldn't tell him. He took a life. And sitting still, I hear young people say to me, and some older too, oh, I wasn't that bad. I wasn't that bad. I knew how bad I was when I got here. 31. I had been married. I had three beautiful children. I couldn't stay sober for my children. I wanted to. How many times was I on my knees to Mr. Bailey? I can't even count them. I'm sorry. I wore I'm sorry out. I was so sorry. I hope I never do that again. But what did I do? I did it again and again and again. And when Mr. Bailey came to tell me about AA, I cursed him out. Oh, I laid his soul to rest. I think all of you know what I told him to do with AA, too. The man was very smart. He walked away from me and he never, but never mentioned AA again. Because if he had to beat me with AA, and we don't beat people into AA, we attract you into here. I was standing up in Brooklyn one night, and I was saying, if you see what I got, you want what I got. And the guy winked at me. I said, man, I ain't talking about that stuff. I'm talking about sobriety. So here again. I went down. I found myself sleeping on Liberty Park bench. Three blocks away from my beautiful home, new bedroom set, mattress and everything. I'm the woman that has had every material thing any woman in this world would ever want. Never got me sober, never kept me sober. And when I looked at myself waking up on that park bench, I said, uh-oh, something wrong with this picture. But I didn't know what to do. I didn't know at that time where to go. And so I kept going down. My last drink, I'm talking to my oldest son, who at that time was 12 years old. And I looked at Richard and I said to him, Richard, I can't live this way. This is not the way I want to live. You can't depend on me for anything. I'm going to go up on the Long Island Railroad. I live 3 blocks from the railroad. I'm going to jump in front of a train. And when they talk about a higher power, I didn't know anything about a higher power. But that night in the basement, talking to my 12-year-old son, I started screaming, "Oh God, oh God, please help me." He could, he would, if you call out to him. I learned that in AA. That's the third step. He could, he would, if he sought. And God answered me. Just like I'm speaking to you. Something said to me just as clear. Try this AA that your father has told me about. I picked up the phone book, looked up AA. And that time when I came into AA, we don't do it anymore, too tough anymore. But if you called somebody, they came to your home or where your job, wherever you were, to carry this message to you. There were no women, Holly, in AA when I came. I beg and love you women for being in AA and staying in AA. There was a lady in California fought for us to be in AA. You guys didn't want us. And my opinion is that you always thought we'd get too smart for you. That's my opinion. Okay. But I'm ever grateful to that woman in California who fought for us to come into this fellowship. Because from the little girl that I was that I came in here, today I stand tall as a woman with dignity. Never did I dream that I would tell you I'd stand tall with dignity. Not with my head laying in vomit, being beaten to a pulp, waking up where I didn't know where I was half the time, that I could stand up and say that. Through the grace of God, Alcoholics Anonymous, and you, I've been able to stay right here. Because I called up AA and they didn't have anyone to send me. And I went into Manhattan to Intergroup. And excuse me for interjecting this in here. I want to thank every speaker that spoke in this auditorium here today. I want to thank you and praise you and love you. Because without you, there would be no AA. I know that. So whatever job you're doing, do it. And do it to the best that you can to keep these doors open for people like me. Because thank God, AA was 17 years old when I got here. 150,000 members. Today we're celebrating the 73rd Thanksgiving. Isn't that something for me to say? For me to say. 73rd Sober Thanksgiving. Beautiful. But I use every day as Thanksgiving. I had to do that when I came to AA. I couldn't make issues of holidays. Because every holiday I was drunk. So every day is Christmas to me. I live it to the fullest. Every day is Thanksgiving because I eat like a yard dog. I eat good. New Year's is another day. Starting a new year, new day, new year. And all the holidays, I just use them as another 24 hours. I see too many people over this 56 years of sobriety use those holidays to get drunk, die, or whatever happens behind the addiction. But I guarantee you, every holiday you jump without a drink or a drug, whew, it makes you feel 10 feet tall. You've done it again. It makes you feel good. And the most important thing for me is when I wake up now, I know what I said yesterday, where I've been yesterday, and what I did yesterday. Before I came here, I couldn't tell you. People were always telling me what I did, and I thought they were lying on me. Got sober and found out they weren't lying on me. I was lying, cheating, ducking, dodging, conniving. I worked like a dog to stay sick. And came in here and found some tools. But I must tell you about my first AA meeting. I went into intergroup, like I said. You said it so beautiful today. People who work in intergroup, who give service. See, they were there to save my life. 53rd Street and Lexington Avenue. I went up the flight of stairs. Never in my life have I ever heard anybody tell me about themselves. People don't admit their wrongs. Come on. They cover that over. And if they're wrong, they're going to blame you anyway. You're the one. Anybody outside of themselves. Think about that. So here again. This lady escorted me into the front part of the office. She started to tell me about her life. And I got goose pimples and chills. I started to fall off the chair. I had never heard this. But she kept hitting me between the eyes. And she said to me, Liz, this is the first drink that you take. I said, what do you mean the first drink? I've been drinking for 19 years. She says, when you take one drink of any kind of alcohol, any type of alcohol, it's only a matter of time that a compulsion builds up into you that you have to go all the way. Oh, God, I remember saying to myself, I'm just going to take one to relax. I'll take the second one to get started. By the time I got to the third and the fourth drink, the hell with everything I was going to do. Off to the races I was. So I could understand that first drink the first time she spoke to me of it. I had never heard it before. I knew two things when I came to AA. What are we drinking and what are we chipping in for? That's all I knew. Always looking for that next drink. And how was I going to get it? When was I going to get it? Then she suggested that I go to St. Benedict's. Oh, I can't go there. My children go there. So what? If it's in a church, it must be for good. You go. So I walked into my first AA meeting, and two girls behind the coffee counter looked up at me. I'm only mimicking them. They said, you don't look like an alcoholic. I had never heard that word. My company didn't talk like that. So I started to run out the room because I had never heard nothing about alcoholics. Not in my day and time. And so here again, as I'm going out the door, they always kept two people at the door. Thank God, because once you got in, you did not get out. They did not let you out. They sat on you. Actually sat on you. And there was two tables in the middle of the floor. And each one sat around, thank God, shared their strength, hope, and experience with me. And that was July the 11th, 1952. And Liz Bailey hasn't been anywhere since. Praise God. Been able to raise my children as a sober mother, which is so important. But I'm going to tell you what AA did. They didn't play with you back then. They were tough. They They belted you. When I'd whine and cry to my sponsor, you know what that woman said to me? I started to call her a wench, but I love her too much. She's gone anyway. Bless her heart. She said to me, listen, Liz Bailey, AA don't need you, but you need AA. I cry for 5 years here. Then I went back and whined some more. She told me to sit on a puddle, get up off it. She didn't say it that nice either. See, I've had to clean up my act, too. My mouth was bad when I came to AA. Every word came out of my mouth was a curse word. And thank God I learned that I don't have to curse to carry a message of any kind. Don't have to use profanity up here, really. It's not necessary. It robs the spirituality of the room and of your own particular life. She was my sponsor for 28 years, so she went home with the Lord. And I had another one, and I had her for 35 years. She just recently went home with the Lord, and I miss her. And the last words she said to me, Liz, let people help you. Let people help you. Those are her last words to me. So if you want to help me up the stairs now, I'll take the help. You want to open the car door, I'll take that too. You want to take me to lunch, I even take that. Because I was one of them independent people. Didn't want you to help me with nothing. I had to learn to ask for help, get help, swallow that sick pride. These steps I live. I don't know if 2 years ago if any of you have got the Grapevine. There was a write-up about me in the Grapevine. And it called me, what's the name they call me? Do some of you read that? Remember what they call me? They call me something about in AA. They call me everything in AA, to tell you the truth. That's why I can't remember some of it. Some of them have buried me already 3 times. Somebody just recently I took sick physically, and they had me having a baby. Now, you know I couldn't have a baby at 87. Come on. Ripley been dead a long time. But Bill Wilson himself, I spoke for his 28th anniversary, for Bill's anniversary. Beautiful man. I really hated it when people talked bad about him after he died. Here's where I have an attitude of gratitude, that he followed his spirit, even though he had a hard time. They gave him a hard time. He wanted to give up, but Lois wouldn't let him give up. She said, at least you stay sober. This was a blessing. Lois was a beautiful person, too. Her and I had dinner in Sing Sing. Never forget that as long as I live. And we took pictures in the corridor with the warden. And I'm saying cheese, and the warden is saying sex. You get a better smile with sex. All these different beautiful things have happened to me along the journey. I'm on a journey down the destination. I don't plan to stop. I don't plan to go anywhere. Not me. I know how good it is here. I brought that attitude plus gratitude equals recovery from Minnesota. They had it on the back of me while I was speaking. I took it down and brought it home. I loved it so much. Because I've learned here that I don't care what I'm going through or growing through. If I can just find one thing to be grateful for, it'll pull me right up out of it. Even depression. Find something always to be grateful for. Good or bad. Boy, what a change it'll make in you. I'm witnessing that. So my first 5 years in AA was hard. Very hard. I started to tell you about me running out the AA door, and the man hit me on the shoulder. He said, "What's the matter with you, and where are you going?" I said, "Those girls said I don't look like an alcoholic. I don't know what an alcoholic looks like. But I'm about to lose my mind, my home, my children, and everything through drinking." He said, "Have a seat, sweetie. You in the right place." And that's when they had the two tables. I didn't know who set up the tables. I didn't know who made the coffee. I didn't know anything. I just came in and sat down. Three carloads came home with me the first night to explain AA to Mr. Bailey so that I could go out to meetings. But I'm very grateful to God at AA. He told me not to get sober for nobody but for myself. I didn't understand that. You know I didn't understand that. I was always a people pleaser. Always trying to be the best mother, the best wife, the best. It was nothing. It was nothing. But then when I came in, Mr. Bailey didn't like me sober. He tried everything in his power to get me back in the streets. Thank you for telling me to stay sober for myself. I've never had a car in my whole sobriety. And every night a different white dude would be picking me up. And I'd upset the neighbors to know what. From a drunk to this, what is she putting down? And thank God I knew what I was putting down. But I must never forget the days that I didn't know what I was putting down. I must never forget those days. Can never forget them. I won't regret them, but I won't let them keep me down. Glad I went through it. And here comes my oldest son. Hated my living guts. The 12-year-old one. Let me know for 54 and a half years of my sobriety that he would never forgive me or forget me as long as he lived. And the more I stayed sober, the more was revealed to me that I wasn't a good wife, I wasn't a good mother, and I had to accept him hating me. I never dialed him because he talked nasty to me, and I don't dial for pain. I don't dial for nobody to talk nasty to me either. It's going on a little over a year ago, I got a phone call. "Who am I speaking to?" He says, "Your son." I said, "Which one?" Because I have many sons in AA. He said, "No, I'm your biological son, and I'm calling to make restitution to you." Took 54 and a half years. Isn't it good that I stayed sober? To get that? To get that? Today he calls me every Monday. He sent me a $1,600 ticket. He lives in Beverly Hills, California. I went to spend 5 days with him. I did not bring up the past. I didn't go there for that. The past is the past. I went there to have a good time. And that's what I did. He got up every morning and made my breakfast and served me. He took me to the finest of restaurants to eat. We went on a trolley ride. We rode the beach. And I went to 3 meetings. I don't go anywhere unless I go to a meeting. I don't care what state I hit. And so that's and my son. Good. My second son was a drug addict and an alcoholic. Fine dude. I loved him to death. And I used to tell him, "Dennis, the right road may be hard, but you'll be the winner. The easy road, the price is heavy." He Couldn't get away from his drug addict friends. June 25th, he was shot and killed between two houses in Flatbush. Thank God you told me not to be sober for my family. My dad hung himself out here and centralized it. My sister went into Manhattan over the George Washington Bridge and jumped 30 floors. She laid on the canopy for 5 days. Mr. Bailey, after I spoke for Bill Wilson, asked me to please leave him. He couldn't stand me in this sobriety another minute. I tried to get Mr. Bailey to come to AA with me to learn about me. Maybe we could have gotten some kind of life together. But I was a Meshuggah Cup one. Oh, there goes, if you're Jewish, that means there goes the crazy one. I was the crazy one. I went back, though. I left Mr. Bailey for 25 years. I didn't live with him for 25 years. But I went back and took care of him in his last days. Because I told you, war was revealed. I was not a good wife. How could I be? Drunk, I couldn't be. He asked me on his deathbed, take his hand. And I took his hand. And he says, Liz, thank you for saving my life. And he says, I love you. And I screamed. I have been married to Mr. Bailey for 47 years when he passed. And I got that I love you before he left here. And I loved it. I loved it. And I felt good, too, that I could make amends to him. Felt very good. And then I had a daughter who died with Lou Gehrig disease. She went from a beautiful girl to a living skeleton. I happened to be in Colorado Springs getting ready to speak, and they let me know that she had died 1:20 that afternoon. I just finished having my 10th operation. Last 2 months. 10. I've been up to death's door 10 times. My daughter, the AA baby, I have a beautiful AA baby. She's 52. I named her after AA, Adrian Anita. Because without AA, that chick would have never been around, and you know that. I know that. She's gorgeous. I have 18 grandchildren, 12 grand and 6 great grand. I see them by appointment only. I do not babysit. I don't babysit. I let nothing or no one interfere with my AA life. And I really mean that. Don't mess with me with my commitments and my life of staying sober. I watch my friends. I don't deal with everybody. I don't go around making believe I'm drinking out of champagne glasses and stuff like that. I eat no food that's cooked with alcohol. They tell you it's cooked out. I got 2 paper strippings from Florida telling you it's not cooked out. I've never done anything to play with my head, because that's where it starts. Right up here. See? I use the phone. I still make meetings. I made 7 meetings a week and 3 times on Sunday when I came to AA. I was trained, like someone said today, never say no. I've never said no to anyone unless the ambulance was taking me or I'm deadly sick. That's the only time I could have to say no. But when I'm on my feet, I don't say no. This last operation I've had, I've got to stop flying. The airports itself beats me down. The lines and the pushing and the, I can't do that. Well, so I sat quiet, and I'm going to close with this. If I want to know anything to do, I have to be still. Go in somewhere and be still. And use my 3rd and the 11th step. I live the steps. I don't just read them. I apply them to me. And I used to bang the big book even. I said, don't come quote no pages to me. I don't want to hear you quote pages. I want to see you living it, applying it. That's what they're tools. That's what they're there for. And I asked God what I should do. I'm to answer phones when the alcoholic calls. And I'm supposed to make my meetings, as many as I can. And I'm going to be honest with all of you. My little dog, Kathy, is sitting over there, and I want to thank her for coming from upstate down here to be with me today and be with us. Because, you see, I told her I have to get back into the rooms. I can't sit in my recliner. These are healing rooms. And when Gary saw me the other night to give me the flyers, he went crazy because I guess he thought I should have been looking all drawn down and knocked down. I was flipping, baby. I was flipping because I've been making me some meetings, two a day, sometimes three a day. Healing. Healing right here. I'm telling you, because where there's two or more, I don't have to have a crowd. I've spoken to thousands and thousands of people in this 55 and a half years. I'm 56 years sober. I say 55 and a half because when I first came to AA, by there being no women, I didn't want to put my linen in front of you guys because I was too fresh anyway, you know. I can't blame it all on you. So, when are you going to speak, Liz? Oh, not ready. When are you going to speak? I got as far as 6 months sober, and two fellas tricked me into speaking at the YMCA on Parsons Boulevard. And could you all believe me? I haven't shut up yet. 55 and a half years talking. Coming across the United States now for the third time. Every state. Hawaii, Canada, Alaska, all the islands. I just turned down the largest ship in the world to speak on. I was the keynote speaker on it, but I had to turn it down, my health. I saw a picture of that ship. I knew I couldn't walk that ship and do that ship. I knew it. I had to tell the girl no. But that's okay. I put in 55 and a half years of what am I now? Okay. That's what God had me do. Can I ask you all to do me a favor? Get still. Find out what you're supposed to do in Alcoholics Anonymous, especially the next legacy. I've been privileged to speak at ICIPA quite a few years back because I've never said no to anyone. I'm proud of ICIPA. I'm proud of NA too. I've lived to see all these A's come in. They were not here when I got here. You all know that. I've seen all the CA, NA, PA, FA, GA. Seen them all come into existence. I've spoken at every one of them. God is good, isn't he? He's so good. And I didn't want to hear about God when I came to AA. I'd curse you out if you mentioned God. And as long as I didn't talk about God, I stayed sick. Migraine headaches, deep depression, isolation, and I cried a lot. The only thing that got me better is that I made 7 meetings a week, 3 times on Sunday, and I had to learn that this is a gift. Not everybody gets this gift. So I got to put one hand in God's, and I have to keep the other one in AA. And I'm on a journey. What a journey. Oh, what a journey. I can't even tell you how beautiful it is. It gets so good. I watch the alcoholics blow it every time it gets good because they don't know how to handle good. But I'll tell you, attitude plus gratitude will keep you in recovery. And give to receive. And give to keep. It's not a gift that you take and sit home with it. You don't do that. Stand at the door and greet somebody. And when I wrote that article in Grapevine, I said 2 things. I want to see the enthusiasm like I did today. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. And I never want a drunk to sit alone in any one of these rooms. Don't do that. Don't let anybody that walk in your room of your meeting sit alone. Because that's your home away from home. And say hello. I go to intergroup in Nassau. That's where I am on Wednesdays. 5 years I've been sitting in the same seat every Wednesday. Little guy I met 30-some years ago picks me up. And that's where I am. And I kiss and speak to everyone that walks in that door. You don't come in there unless I speak to you. You've come into my home. And if you rang my doorbell today at my home where I sleep and live, I welcome you. I got a welcome mat outside. You carry these principles in all your affairs, not just in here. I love you guys. And thank you for my 5 minutes over. And have a good blessed day.